Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into hour number two. We're with you until 12 noon. Coming up later, we'll hear from Katie Shields. He is the head women's soccer coach at St. Louis U. They play in the A-10 quarterfinals coming up at 1 o'clock at Herman Stadium here in St. Louis. Dave Matter will talk about Mizzou football and basketball. We'll hear from the Tigers basketball forward Kevin Purrier. But to start things off here in hour number two, he's the director of athletics at St. Louis University. Chris May, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you today?
Well, I'm terrific. It's great to talk to you and great to catch up. And I have a feeling you're probably going to watch some soccer this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll be at Herman Stadium. Katie has done a great job with our women, and they're seeded number one in the A-10 tournament. They went undefeated. They've had just a fantastic year, and it's been fun watching them. They're led by three local products: Maddie Picorni, who's a Webster Groves high school grad. Allie Klug came out of Nerinx. Allie was our second All-American in school history. And then we got a freshman, Hannah Fravix, who's just smoking it from St. Charles. So it's been fun to watch, but big game today.
Yeah, and I'm excited for folks to get to meet Katie a little bit. Here's the thing that's impressive, and sometimes these things get overlooked, but in 6 years, she's almost 30 games over the 500 mark in her coaching career.
Yeah, and we are thrilled to have Katie. Katie is a very, very bright, passionate coach. You know, she played at Harvard, coached at Harvard, coached at Northwestern, came here. She has embraced this community, recruited like unbelievably. Basically, the way I'd say from Cincinnati to Kansas City and everywhere in between, she's recruiting and getting visits out of the top kids, and that's how she's built it, and she's really doing a great job.
1 o'clock this afternoon, Herman Stadium, St. Louis U, 15-3-1 against Dayton, 8-8-2 are the Flyers, and again, St. Louis U won the first matchup back on October the 4th by the score of 3-1. SLU needs one more win to tie the school record of 16-7-0-5, 44 wins over the past three seasons, most among A-10 women's soccer teams, and the Billikens at home really good in the last 30 games, 25-1-4. So if you got nothing to do, make your way out to Herman Stadium. What'd you think of the basketball team last night?
Well, Mike, it was a really good first night out. And, you know, exhibition games, everybody's always anxious. You never know what you're going to see. But I couldn't be more thrilled with what Travis and the staff and the guys are doing right now. We've got a shot, Mike. We've got a long, long way to go, but there were some really, really great spots. And you've been to how many exhibition games have you been to? And
a few.
You know, you just never know, right? And you just don't know what you're going to see. You don't know if you're going to see a ball fly into the sixth row. You don't know if you're going to. But it was a really good first night out, and we're really encouraged.
Yeah, the big thing you want from an exhibition is everybody to come out of the game healthy. That's the most important thing.
Come out healthy, and what Travis really hoped to see, and I think he did if we spoke last night, is to learn a little bit more about what we've got. And, you know, we have four returners that played last year. Javon Best led us last night, and he's our top returning guy. But between Javon, Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French, and DJ Foreman, those are the only four that have played in a Billiken uniform before. And so we've got a lot of new parts out there, but they showed some signs last night that we've got a shot to have a special team.
And fans got their first chance to see Tremaine Isabel, who, of course, began his career at Missouri, the Seattle native, finished with 19 points. What did you think of his performance?
Well, Mike, he was dynamite. To have a fifth-year grad student come in and play, I mean, even I don't care. Anytime the lights turn on, that young man did a great job. I heard and I'd seen about his scoring prowess. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know how great a passer he was. And he really passed the ball and distributed unbelievably well last night. And he also defended. And so Tremaine had a really good first night out.
Yeah, and good, because he is a guy that can be really a highlight reel each time he touches the ball.
He drove the lane a couple times, kicked it back out. He really found open guys. And so he really did a nice job. Now, it's early, but he showed some wonderful signs of what people have seen out of him for a long time.
Chris, this is a team that was picked to win the A-10. It's a team that I think is a tournament team. If it makes it to the NCAA tournament, how does that help St. Louis University's athletic department?
Well, you know, it's we've got to have a great men's basketball program. It's the big player in our program. It's critically important to our brand and to what we do. We believe it's critically important to St. Louis. And we're working real hard to represent not only our department, but the university, but the city with that team. And it's very, very important. We got a long way to go, but we've got some pieces. And what I'm really encouraged about is, man, those kids are playing hard every day. They like being with each other. And so there were some great signs. You had the freshman, Cartier Gordon, played really well last night. Cartier showed some signs on why he was such a star coming out of high school. Fred Thatch out of Sykeston had some great moments last night. So everybody showed a little bit of something, which is what you want. And as you said, nobody got dinged or hurt or anything. So it was a fun night.
I like your head coach. I want him to do well, as you might know. I want to ask you a couple more things. Chris Mays, the director of athletics at St. Louis U, because from where you sit, you have an interesting perspective on a couple of different topics I want to kind of dive into. First of all, It seems to me that the NCAA has maybe changed its attitude regarding transfers. And we just saw Mark Smith leave Illinois last year during the year, come to Missouri, ruled eligible. In past years, he would have been forced to sit a year. So philosophically, from your chair, what do you think has changed in the way that the NCAA is considering each of those cases individually?
Well, I think, first of all, Mike, I think you're very onto something that I think the change started about 3 to 5 years ago. Now, you're on campus all the time, so you know it. But when you look at the changes that have happened to be more student-athlete-centric, remember 10, 15 years ago when you couldn't feed a kid an extra pizza after a game?
Correct.
And now there's food. We're feeding student-athletes nonstop 24/7 with fueling stations and food. And so I think the membership really got together and said, hey, we've got to start delivering better for our constituents, the student-athletes. And so the NCAA, at the end of the day, is a membership organization. And so what happened, I believe, is that the leadership on campuses and the leadership in conference offices said, hey, we've got to start doing this better. And so the transfer issue has been important. I think at the end of the day, the NCAA is trying to be more student-centric. The student-athletes have a bigger say in how we're operating from an institution and from a NCAA perspective. So I think what you're seeing is an effort to deliver a better service to all the student-athletes.
Okay, fine.
That's what it looks like to me.
Finally, again, and I want to get your perspective from your chair because you see it differently than most, guilty verdicts this week in New York City in the trials that involved the shoe companies and obviously representatives for those various companies. Obviously a black eye for the sport. How do you clean it? How do you remove those factions and the influence that the shoe companies have? And obviously it really comes into play when you start talking about some of the Power Five conferences and things like that.
Well, that's a great question, and I don't have a perfect answer for you, Mike. I think it certainly isn't good for the business. I think the more those trials go through and the process afterwards, I think, is how you really clean it up. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's going to take the top coaches and the top athletic directors in the business to say, these are our values and this is how we're going to operate. And I think there's going to be a moment in time very soon where the leaders in our industry, and I think it's happening, are saying, hey, this is how we're going to move forward. And I think at the end of the day, we've got a lot of people doing great work, and you see it every day, so you know it. So I'm singing to the choir with you. But there's a lot of people that are spending their livelihoods to support young men and women to have great experiences on college campuses. And if we focus on that and helping those kids get degrees and helping those kids be successful, then we're going to be okay. When we get our focus on other parts of the business, I think it becomes a challenge. But it certainly isn't when those things are so public in nature, that doesn't help our business. But I think when you've got leaders like Travis Ford and leaders like Konzo Martin and leaders like that are really, and you've been in the locker rooms, you know what those coaches are doing to help young people. If we continue to have really good people leading our programs and doing it the right way, I think in the end, that's how you clean it up.
I'd love to see, and I've said this to you many, many times, I'd love to see Missouri and St. Louis U get together in some type of a home-and-home arrangement.
Well, you and I have been on the same page. I think it'll happen in time. I think the two coaches have a really good relationship. And as we both continue to build our programs and both programs feel good about where they are, I think that's when it'll happen. But right now, Mike, we're just focused on who we're playing. Mm-hmm. We're focused on Unsel, and then we get SEMO. We've got Butler coming in to shape its arena. I mean, our home schedule, we got Butler. We got Oregon State. We've got Davidson, who's got the player of the year in the A-10. We've got Phil Martelli coming in. We've got some big-time teams coming. Then we're going on the road, playing Florida State on the road, playing Houston on the road, playing Pitt, Seton Hall on the road. We're very excited about the schedule that Travis put together. We're selling tickets for as low as $100, so it's a great value in Shape Its Arena. So we're really excited about this season, and if we keep building it, then great things will happen.
See, I love that. Chris May, at the end of the conversation, goes back to his old marketing days and starts selling some tickets.
Yeah. You and Joe Castiglione taught me.
Chris May, who I first met when he was doing marketing back for the University of Colorado back in the 80s and 90s. Hey, buddy, I'm proud of you. Keep it up, and got great respect for you, Chris. And thanks for the visit, bud.
Have a good one. Take care.
All right, you too. That's the director of athletics at St. Louis U, Chris May. I'm Mike Kelly. We'll talk Mizzou hoops with Kevin Purrier up next on Sports on a Sunday on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The headline of the week with Missouri's basketball team was the fact that Jontay Porter, who was expected to lead Missouri in scoring and rebounding, went down with an ACL-MCL tear in one of those closed scrimmage games last Sunday afternoon against Southern Illinois at Carbondale. Missouri, don't tell anybody, playing one of those games again today in Quincy, Illinois against the University of Iowa. On the court for the Tigers, one of their leaders is Kevin Purrier. Earlier this week, I had a chance to visit with him. When I say this is your final season at Missouri, what's the first thing to cross your mind?
I think everything that I overcame just to get to this point, my first couple of years of college were definitely a lot of things that I learned from, and wasn't used to losing as much, but you know, it definitely made me a better man, and definitely taught me some things that I can apply to my life.
You've seen a lot over the course of 4 years, haven't you?
Yes, quite a bit. Lots of different teammates, and you know, just a lot of adversity. Now that I'm here now, it just makes me super grateful that I overcame it all.
Describe what this summer was like for you in terms of getting prepared to play your last season in college. What were some of the things that, as you looked at it, you wanted to become better at as a player, and some of the things maybe you worked on from a physical standpoint as well?
I really just wanted to get in the best shape possible. You know, knowing it was my last season, I really just wanted to put my best foot forward and, you know, really just get ready for battle, honestly. Get ready to bang with you know, some of the best players in the country, and also battling the best league in the country. So I knew that going into this past summer, that I knew I had to be on my P's and Q's.
Isn't it amazing the transition that's taken place in this league in your time in the conference? I mean, the first couple of years you were here, you knew that there were a couple really good teams. Kentucky was really good every year. Florida was really good. There were a couple others. But now, top to bottom, this league is terrific, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I believe this league, at first, my first couple of years, I think it was very top-heavy, and now we're talking about possibly 10 teams making it to the tournament this year. So I think it goes to see, you know, how much talent there is in this league, and also how good of a job that coaches do recruiting the talent to the school.
When you arrived, you were kind of thrust into the spotlight right away and asked to do a lot of things as a freshman. Looking back on that, how much did that help prepare you for this now, your senior and final season?
You know, being thrusted into that spotlight my freshman year definitely taught me a lot of leadership qualities that I still use today. You know, a lot of freshmen don't really get the opportunity to do so. So, you know, me being in a leadership role for 4 years, I think that's really awesome. And, you know, something that also is very useful for, you know, whenever I'm done playing basketball, working with other people, working for a company, you know, potentially owning my own. But I think it's just taught me how to deal with different types of people and, you know, learn how people operate. It, you know, really taught me a lot.
You and I both, I think, have the same feeling that when you think about the injury to Jonte, the first thing that crosses your mind is you think about Jonte. But putting that aside, what are some things that people on the outside don't know about this group that'll take the court without Jonte?
That we just have a really resilient and talented group of guys. We still have a lot of height and a lot of talent at the guard positions. So I think we have a really well-rounded group. Like you said, of course, it's very unfortunate what happened to Jonte, but, you know, we faced a lot of adversity last year and overcame it. Had a good season and made a tournament appearance, our first one in a while. So we're just looking to continue to build on that.
When you look at your game and you've had the ability to obviously score from the outside, you're expanding a little bit, hitting more three-point shots. Just where can you – I guess as a player, be more effective for this team?
I think in all facets of my game, I can be more effective. I really haven't shot the ball as well as I really wanted to my first few years here and this past summer. And, you know, even now I'm still working to get better range on my shot. And it's been going well so far. And I'm looking to really just give my team, our coaches, our fans, everything that I have for this last year.
Tell me a little bit about what you've seen in the growth of Jordan Geist since he arrived here.
Really just his vocal leadership. You know, since when I got here, he really wasn't a guy to speak too much, but now he's really a spokesperson, one of the spokesperson for our team. And just to see his growth and, you know, even him being on the SEC Leadership Council, like that's a really a big step for him because he, you know, was kind of shy and not as vulnerable at first, but now he's very vocal and, you know, even in his game, he's just developed a really – I mean, he's always been a tough player, but, you know, he's developed to a really good player and somebody that I think Missouri fans will remember for how gritty and tough he is.
Yeah, certainly that. Of the young guys, the newcomers, who's captured your attention the most?
Well, I think they've all caught my attention. They all bring something very, very unique to the table. But I would say Javon Pickett, just his work ethic and, you know, how – dedicated he is to the game. You know, he's at the gym every morning at 6:30, you know, working out again at 11 and still practicing. So just the amount of effort and dedication he puts into this game, you know, there's no choice but for him to reap the benefits of that. And, you know, I'm just excited to see his growth over the season.
Mitchell Smith is a kid that you've seen in this program for a while. Just describe what type of player is Mitchell for those that haven't had a chance to watch him play because he's been so limited from a game standpoint because of injuries.
Yeah, he's been out. I want to start off by saying that's my roommate, so I'm out. I'm around him quite a bit. But you know, just he's a very tough-minded player. He's able to put the ball on the floor, get to the rim. He's a really good offensive rebounder. He's very active on the ball and somebody that can switch onto a guard and guard. So you know, when he's in the lineup, say we have me, Jeremiah, and Mitch in the game, we can switch, I mean, 4 to 5 ways just because he's so versatile. So I think he brings a lot to the table as far as versatility.
If I say Jeremiah, you say?
I'd say that he's very tough, very physical, very, I don't know. I mean, he's goofy, of course, off the court. But, you know, when it comes to playing basketball, you know, I could see him developing. And last year I could tell, you know, when he would foul early on, he would get rattled and, you know, let plays that he didn't make too well bother him. But now I can see the maturity in his game. And he's just really getting a lot better, developing as a young man and also developing well as a player too.
And as a player, you guys as teammates, I remember on multiple occasions, you know, he'd get into foul trouble. You guys were the first ones to kind of grab him and just kind of try to pick him up. I mean, that's something that's very important too, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, when one of our teammates is down, it's our job to pick our brother up. We really pride ourselves in creating a family environment. And I think Coach Martin, the coaches, and us as players have done a good job of making everybody feel involved and making everybody feel welcome.
You came here to represent the state of Missouri. And you obviously have done a terrific job over the course of the last 4 years, and now you move into your final season. As you look back on this, is there something that maybe stands out more than other experiences that you've had?
Like I said, I think just me overcoming everything that this program endured the first couple of years, I think that, speaks volumes. After my sophomore year, it was really hard because we didn't really have a coach and I didn't know, what was going to happen. But, in my heart, I knew that I never wanted to leave Columbia. I really love this place, and Columbia's treated me well. I love the people here, and just all the relationships and friendships that I've built throughout my time here has just been remarkable.
How much easier is it as a player knowing expectations in year two of Coach Martin's program as opposed to last year when you're trying to learn as you go along?
It helps a lot. Last year, we were kind of learning on the fly with Coach Martin. Didn't really know what to expect from him or didn't know what he expected of us. But now that we have a full season under our belt, as senior leaders, me and guys can pass on what we know to the younger guys. And we know what Coach expects. So, sometimes Coach really doesn't have to say anything. Me and guys will be the spokesman and, point it out ourselves. So I think in that aspect, we've done a really good job thus far.
Thank you for your time. Have a great senior season.
All right, thank you.
That is Blue Springs, Missouri native Kevin Puryear. He and the Tigers will begin the season coming up on November the 6th against Central Arkansas. They then travel to Iowa State coming up on Friday, November the 9th. Mexico, Missouri native Teron Liu, fired by the Cleveland Cavaliers today after a 0-6 start. The former Missouri guard, Larry Drew, named the interim head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. 32 minutes after 11 o'clock, Dave Matter of the Post-Dispatch will join me up next on KMOX.
Hey guys, it's Alex Ferrario. Join me and Amy Mark Scores for Chili's Week in Hockey as we dive deep into the Blues season every Monday night. Notes from around the league and everyone's favorite, What's Up With That? 8 to 10 Monday nights on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is just about 11:36 in St. Louis. I'm Mike Kelly. Coming up in our next segment, we'll visit with Katie Shields. She's the head soccer coach at St. Louis University. And again, they play in the A-10 quarterfinals coming up at 1 o'clock at Herman Stadium as they'll take on the Dayton Flyers. It was not exactly a banner week for Mizzou Athletics as the week started, as we told you in our last segment, with the injury to Jonte Porter. Then, of course, it closes with last night's disappointing loss in football to the University of Kentucky. Missouri led 14-3 at the half. Tigers with no first downs in the second half. Kentucky comes back. They return a punt to close within 14-9, and then they score on the game's final play to beat Missouri by the score of 15-14. Dave Matter covers the Tigers for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and does a terrific job and kind enough to join us this morning. So how devastating of a setback was that for Barry Odom and his program?
It's about as devastating as it can get. I mean, I slept on that game, and I woke up today and still couldn't believe what we witnessed there, Mike. And we've seen a lot of wild things happen on that football field over the years, and I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. 14-3 with 5 minutes to go, and then Missouri just had a meltdown in all three phases. You can't point to offense, defense, or special teams and give any of them a free pass. It was all hands on deck.
Yeah, it was. And, there are several different things that we can go through with the game itself. And as you said that, it reminded me of Jack Buck's famous call from the 1988 World Series, the Kirk Gibson home run coming off of the bench off of Dennis Eckersley when he concluded things with, "I can't believe what I just saw." I think we all felt that way. But let's talk a little bit about just the way things unfolded, particularly in the final couple of minutes. So Missouri on the 3rd-and-2 calls an RPO option, and the pattern for Jonathan Johnson was literally a 4-yard out. They got the look that they thought they were going to get with 9 in the box. Jonathan Johnson's depth on the route, though, instead of 4 yards, was 12 yards, and it ended up being an incomplete pass. Locke had the run option, decided to throw the football. Most fans, again, and I'm kind of old school this way, 3rd down, 2.5 to go, 2 downs to make a first, 1:37 or so on the clock. I'm just one of those guys that's always believed just kind of pounded up in there. But with 9 in the box, they got exactly the look that they thought that they had.
And, you know, in a week ago, similar situation, different circumstance, obviously it was in the first half and the game wasn't on the line, but it's 4th and 1. They convert a very similar play like that to Jonathan Johnson. So maybe that memory gave them some confidence there. At any rate, an incomplete pass, that stops the clock,
right,
and doesn't force Kentucky to call a timeout, which a run would have, even if the run, you know, didn't get any yards and didn't get the first down. And obviously that timeout became very valuable for Kentucky on their final offensive drive. So in hindsight, it's easy to second guess that one for sure.
Yeah, and if the punt return though is something that's you know, inexcusable, if you will. I mean, Kentucky did a great job blocking it, but Missouri's coverage was not very good at all.
Yeah, it was just a complete breakdown there. You know, Missouri's had issues in special teams all year long. I mean, let's face it, they had a field goal block earlier in that game, and 3 points would have been pretty handy there at the end. And we've seen breakdowns like that in all different phases of their special teams this season, and that one was especially troubling.
Yeah, and then of course the final series, you know, Kentucky marches 81 yards in just over a minute, and pass interference called in the far left back corner of the end zone. Results in the untimed down, they get the game winner. Just kind of take me through as you watch that unfold. What were some of your thoughts as you were watching that last drive by the Wildcats?
Well, I mean, as great as Missouri's defense played all night, you know, it is kind of a shame that it falls on that unit. You know, they get 3 fourth-down stops in a game, all by Cale Garrett. And, you know, that side, you would think they deserved better. But they took a quarterback who has struggled all year throwing the ball, struggled to the point in the game last night that they benched him in the second half. They bring Terry Wilson back out, and he turns into Terry Bradshaw. I mean, everything he threw, they converted and completed. And it looked like the same old secondary for Missouri, just giving up big chunks of yardage. The pass interference on DeMarcus Acy, I mean, it's hard to defend that call. You see multiple angles of it now. I mean, that the receiver was clearly the one that was interfering there. Acy did everything he could, and it looked, you know, like he didn't interfere at all, really. But Missouri should have never been in that situation in the first point, especially on a drive where you get 2 sacks. As much as Missouri struggled to rush the passer this year, you get 2 sacks in one possession, you should be able to end that drive. And then, you know, at that point, no time on the clock. Missouri's actually leading on the scoreboard with the clock saying zeros, but they get one last play, and Kentucky just executed it perfectly.
Yeah, they did. And the Kentucky Wildcats, Dave Matter, are going to host the Georgia Bulldogs next week for the SEC East title.
It's pretty wild to think that, but, you know, last night they found a way to win. You know, maybe they got some help on that call. Missouri didn't help itself at all, especially on offense. But that is a team that continues to improve. I mean, this is the first time they'll have a winning record in SEC play in a really long time. So I think you do, as badly and poorly as Missouri botched that game, you do give Mark Stoops some credit for what he's built there at Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely. In year 6, they've done a terrific job, and, you know, hard-nosed group of guys that just like to compete, and they competed for 60 minutes and 15 seconds or so last night.
Yeah.
Let's talk hoops. Konzo Martin's basketball team opens up coming up on November the 6th against Central Arkansas. You know, obviously the loss of Jontay Porter is huge, a guy that probably is going to lead you in scoring and rebounding. But maybe the bigger loss, more than even the offense and the rebounding, is the way that he changed the game defensively because of his length, the ability to influence shots and also block shots.
Oh, he just does so much for you. There's not one player, not just on this team, but in this league, that I think does as much for his team and as for what they expected him to be as a sophomore this year. You know, defensively, he can take off, like you said, he can take off pressure off of Jeremiah Tillman. He's a great luxury to have because he's not a natural center or a five man, but if Jeremiah Tillman gets foul trouble, and we know that happens a lot to him, you can slide Jontay over and he can play in the middle there. Now they don't have that luxury, and there's just so many different areas where he helps, or was going to help this team, and now you're going to have to rely on a lot of new pieces to fill those roles. So it's there's no way to spin that injury. I mean, this one is pretty tough for Konzo and his program.
Yeah, it is, and you know, Dave, we've got to talk about this because obviously, with great fanfare, Michael Porter announced that he was going to Missouri. Jontay Porter then soon followed, and you know, the byproduct or the end result, historically, the way it's going to be remembered is not nearly what fans had hoped for, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, you got one really good year out of Jontay. You know, this is speculating at this point, but I would be surprised if he would come back for another year. I mean, he's already cost himself some money in the draft, And at this point, what's really the point of playing for free again, especially when, you know, those knees, he's on borrowed time on those knees possibly. So, but yeah, it really is unfortunate because there was so much promise and so many expectations when they came on board. And for Jonte, you just, as much as this is about, you know, the fans being upset and more disappointment, but you really feel for Jonte because you and I know him. He's a great kid. And I think he really handles himself the right way for being so young, and he'll come out of this okay. But man, it's such a tough blow for him.
Yeah, he's absolutely a sweetheart of a kid. I mean, he really is, and well spoken, and a guy that's very thoughtful in the things that he talks to you about when you're visiting with him. You got to wonder though, man. Talk about a family plagued by injuries. Michael's back has been well documented, but of course his sisters all had ACL injuries. Now he has an ACL and. It's just that's the other thing that I think about is just for the family. It's just a sad deal.
It really is. I think on the bright side of it, I think they are such a good family that they seem to have a good perspective on things. They will not, and they say this all the time, kind of their family motto, they do not value themselves as athletes. And they'll come out of it with lives and careers and families beyond basketball, but it is unfortunate that they can't, you know, see to their potential to some degree.
Remind me what the new book is.
100 things Missouri fans should know and do before they die. We probably could have added a chapter last night for sure, but happier times are in that book for sure.
All right, Dave, I will see you next week in Gainesville, Florida, as the Tigers head to Gainesville to take on the Gators.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. That's Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It is 45 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. When we return, Katie Shields, we'll hear from her. Big soccer match coming up as St. Louis U takes on Dayton, coming up at 1 o'clock at Herman Stadium on the St. Louis U campus. Back after this on Sports on a Sunday.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday, heard each Sunday morning here on News Radio 1120 KMOX. St. Louis U's women's soccer team in action at Herman Stadium coming up later today as the Billikens will take on Dayton as they will play coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. St. Louis U is 15-3-1. Katie Shields is in her sixth season as the Bills head coach, and she joins us this morning on KMOX. Congratulations on a terrific season so far. Just give me some thoughts on how this group has come together as a team.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Mike. And yeah, it's been an awesome building process this year. You know, last couple seasons we've had really good years, but kind of faltered off towards the end of the season. And this year we've just steadily built. We had some, you know, fought through some injuries, a little bit of resiliency early on, played some really good teams, and tested ourselves, and it really paid off. In conference, we went unbeaten in the A-10, and now looking to roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, rolling into the playoffs beginning today at home. I'm going to talk about the matchup with Dayton here in just a moment, but I want to talk a little bit about your body of work. You served as an assistant coach for 1 year and then have taken over now in your sixth season. I don't know if you've realized it, because sometimes coaches just kind of go about the day-to-day. You're almost now 30 games over the 500 mark as a head coach, which speaks volumes for the job that you've done. So as you took over this program, give me some thoughts on what were some of the building blocks along the way to get this program to where it is today.
Sure. I mean, first of all, the program has great tradition. You know, 13, 14 years ago, they won A-10 championships, went to the NCAA tournament, and it just hadn't had some of that recent success when we first got here. So our first thing was lay out a culture so people knew what they were buying into, something bigger than themselves and being a part of building something really special here in this town. And so then we kind of turned that into recruiting, and our biggest mission was get the best players in St. Louis to stay home. And we've really started to do that. It's the backbone of a lot of our success. And then we've also been able to attract some really special players from around the greater Midwest area. And it's been a nice blend that has helped us. I mean, this senior class has not lost a regular season game the last 3 years at home. So they're kind of the group that has really started to turn the tide of our success. And they've won 44 games in their last 3 years, which is, it's the most in the A-10, and it's got to be one of the highest in the country.
Well, and you've won 11 consecutive games, setting school records for the longest winning streak and longest unbeaten streak. It's also the longest active streak in Division I women's soccer. What is this team doing particularly well right now as you head into the postseason?
They're consistent. I mean, obviously, you know, to come out on a weekly or biweekly basis and perform, it's hard to do at the college level, and been able to do it consistently on the road and at home. The other thing is we're very disciplined as a group. We defend incredibly hard, all 11 players on the field. And then we've got a ton of attacking weapons that you don't know on a given day who you're going to have to deal with and who you're going to have to stop, which just makes us tricky to play against.
Hannah Frederick is a freshman midfielder from Hazelwood West, and she leads you in points with 27, also in assists. Is she better than you thought she would be as a freshman in college?
I don't know if she's better. I mean, I think she's what you hope a special freshman could come in and be, but it speaks volumes to Hannah. And she, you know, it's hard to come in. It's hard to adapt to the speed of play often for freshmen. And Hannah, her competitiveness, her preparation, and then also just being coachable and really quickly picking up on how we want to play, how our teammates around her play. She's had a pretty special freshman year so far.
Yeah, who else, though, has stood out for you individually?
It's crazy because on a given day, we actually lost our leading goal scorer about four games ago, Alyssa Seitzer. She was having a phenomenal career season to a broken foot, and, you know, Hannah's kind of stepped up in her place in some ways. The other were really led energy-wise, work-wise, and even points and goals a lot of days by senior Maddie Picorni, another local kid from Webster Groves. And then our back line is special. We've only given up three goals in conference in 10 games, and that's kind of held down and organized and run by Allie Klug, who was a sophomore All-American. She's a junior, also from Webster Groves, Missouri. And so those are kind of, you know, three that we've really relied on heavily, but it's a pretty deep team, and on a given day, somebody new tends to step up.
Well, to underscore what you said about how solid the back line has been, only you've had 12 shutouts already this season.
Yeah, it's crazy when you kind of see the numbers stack up, but we're tough to break down, and I think a lot of that even starts with the work some of our forwards and attacking players do defensively.
You won at Dayton back on October the 4th, 3-1. Kind of analyze this Flyers team that you'll see coming up this afternoon at Herman Stadium.
Yeah, it's a good team. I mean, every team in the A-10 is competitive. The game at Dayton, it was fast-paced. It was physical. You know, it was back and forth in the first half. They scored a very good goal against us, but we were able to, you know, kind of go into halftime up a goal 2-1, and then the second half, I think we were really able to kind of dominate and show our ability to kind of wear teams down and get that third goal to put them away. But the playoffs, everyone's equal, doesn't matter. So now, you know, I expect a great test for us today, and another opportunity to prove what we're capable of.
Analyze the rest of the A-10, though. I mean, how difficult will this path in postseason be?
It's challenging. You know, last night, every game, the other three matchups played, they were all tight and competitive games. And I expect the same from today. I think, you know, we didn't see in our league play, we didn't play VCU, who's the 2 seed. We didn't play George Mason, who's the 4 seed. So it's not an easy path. This league is not an easy league, but we like our chances going into today.
Well, and particularly playing at home at Herman Stadium here in St. Louis, where the record has been terrific, 25-1-4 in the last 30 matches played on your home stadium.
It is. It's special. Our team loves playing at home. It's a beautiful setting. It's an exciting place to be, and I think we're very hard to beat at home. That said, again, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But no, we're fortunate, and again, just love to be in front of our own crowd.
Hey, Katie, thank you for your time this morning, and best wishes this afternoon. Go get a win against Dayton.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so
much.
That
is Katie Shields, women's soccer coach at St. Louis U. And again, quarterfinals coming up 1 o'clock this afternoon at Herman Stadium as they take on the Dayton Flyers. Our thanks to Dave Matter, who covers Mizzou for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Tigers basketball player Kevin Purrier, the director of athletics at St. Louis U, Chris May, Ryan Fagan, who covers baseball for the Sporting News, Missouri football coach Barry Odom, and Joey Vitale, the Blues radio analyst. That's going to do it for this edition of Sports on a Sunday. James O'Sullivan, our board operator and producer. I'm Mike Kelly. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Enjoy the weather, folks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.